Hey, welcome back to episode 48 of the infamous podcast, The Black Hole. Dun, dun, dun.
Did you do that?
I don't know. Hey, I'm your host, Brian, or co-host, Brian, along with
Johnny.
And today we are going to have a truncated version of the show.
Brian's shortened. On vacation this week, so this well, is being
as
you are
listening to this.
This is in the past.
I am. I'm in San Francisco right now.
Lock him up. So, put him in the Alcatraz.
No, don't keep me in Alcatraz. That would be awful.
Yeah, for you.
I know. For me, I'm not cut out for prison, man.
Your wife and kid are going. Yes.
Like even though there's no actual prisoners there anymore, I'm still not cut out for prison.
If Ed Harris is there and you see him, you probably want to leave.
Run. God, that's so my luck.
Yeah, have you seen Nick Cage and Sean Connery anywhere in the neighborhood of San Francisco? Leave.
Anthony Clark as a gay hairstylist.
What else? Who else was in that?
Oh, everybody was in
that. Oh, William Forsythe. Yeah. If you see William Forsythe, you know, lurking around, leave.
Yep.
Vanessa Marcel.
If I see Michael Bain, run. If I see Dr. Cox from Scrubs, beat it.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was one of the Marines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one of Ed Harris's men.
Oh, Michael Biehn. If you see
That's
Michael
what I said.
Biehn, yeah.
I said him already. You were too busy drinking your Nestle iced tea with lemon.
This episode brought to you by Nestle iced tea with lemon.
Is it?
Well, you did it, so I just...
Anyway, all right.
Commercial break. What happens on those days in the summertime when you're burning up outside? Actually, nothing says anything like a cool Nestle iced tea.
Let's do one for a Nestle iced tea on the black hole. On the ship.
What happens when you're in space and you find an abandoned spaceship? You're returning home from a mission and you find an abandoned spaceship, nothing around. You need that cool, crisp taste of Nestle lemon iced tea.
All right. As you're nearing
the event
horizon.
As you're watching limping drones and, you know, there's a greenhouse full of food for like hundreds of people, but there's only one living man on board the ship. I've already told the plot of the movie. All right. The movie starts out on the Palomino. They're heading back home. They run across a derelict ship. They identify the derelict ship as the USS Cygnus.
Yep.
Which Yvette Mimeau, portraying Dr. Kate McCrae's father, was the first officer on.
Right.
Who else? Anthony Perkins plays Dr. Alex Durant. Robert Forster's Captain Dan Holland. Joseph Bottoms plays Charlie Pizer. Ernest Borgnine plays the scrupulous Harry Booth.
So I was not prepared for young Ernest Borgnine or younger Ernest
younger,
Borgnine.
You're used to Airwolf era Ernest Borgnine.
No,
you're used to Krabby Pants.
Used to basketball Ernest Borgnine.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That was the last thing I remember him in. But and then Maximilian Schell.
Yeah,
is Dr. Hans Reinhardt.
Yeah,
Hans Reinhardt.
Dr. Reinhardt.
Anyway, all right.
Does he do his best German? Wait, what was he? What was
the
his
only thing I really remember him in other than this? Was
Deep Impact. Right, yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
And the only thing the only reason I remember that is because he was De Leon's shitty dad.
Yeah,
and the wave crushed them when it's like you guys could have like driven to Ohio in the time that it took. Anyway,
but I love you, and your mother committed suicide, so now we must die too.
Anyway, all right.
He's great in this.
He is.
He's over-the-top bad guy for sure.
And so as we get into this, just to remind you guys, we are reviewing for the next couple weeks some of the cool Disney sci-fi movies that have been out.
Next one will be...
If you go back and listen to episode 47, we talked about the groundbreaking 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, which we both thoroughly enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
This week, obviously, by the name of the show, we're talking about the black hole. Next week, we are going to talk about Flight of the Navigator. And then we're going to close out talking about Tron, and we'll probably throw some Tron Legacy talk. The Legacy of
Tron, yeah. Probably.
Because Tron is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
And
that one will probably be a little bit longer.
Yeah, we'll definitely go longer for that one. But, all right, so this movie kicks off.
Well, let's reference when this movie came out.
Okay, 1979.
Right. All right. So it came out after Star Wars, but it was kind of Disney trying to do Star Wars.
It was post-Star Wars, pre-Last Starfighter.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess, yeah, that's a good way of...
Because, so it has the practical effects that it has.
Yeah, excuse me.
Are good.
Another Peter Ellenshaw, you know, we talked about him in the last episode. Yep.
The
he did a lot of the effects on this. Him and his son. His son was one of the major effects guys in this movie.
The computer-generated stuff?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Experimental.
And it's
fine. Very experimental, because that opening credit scene with the CGI stuff was like, wow.
And as much as I felt, and this is where the statement's going to come from, is that kind of the opening credits, because it kind of kicked me off in that mindset.
Yeah.
As much as 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea feels timeless,
mm-hmm.
this feels dated because of that opening sequence. And it just got me in that mindset right away.
I can agree with that.
As I pull myself back and I think about this in like a less critical light,
yeah,
the robots are great.
Yeah,
the costumes, the
set designs and all that
is great. Maximilian,
the designs of the ships were some of the like cooler things.
The ships
were
really cool
when they're trying to identify the Cygnus on their bridge, and they're showing all these other outlines of ships. I was like, can I see what that one looks like?
Yeah, let's
because it's but the Cygnus like. As a kid, I had the, I think it was Whitman had done an adaption.
Okay.
And it was a book. It was not, it was like a, what's called a trade paperback now. And then I think it was like two issues that were collected, and it was the full movie. And that, but the cover has the Cygnus, which is the banner picture that we
right,
have.
Right, right, right.
And like the cast on a reel across the cover.
Oh, cool.
And then they had the black hole at the top of it.
Yeah.
And but it was one of those things where that ship was always one of those ones where I'm like, you could live on that thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it as a kid, your imagination is like, what would happen if you lived on a ship that big?
How cool would it be to live on that ship?
Yeah, I had that, and I had the book on record. Nice. Book and record. And it's like, I wore that record out.
I bet.
And I didn't see that movie until I was an older kid. I had never seen it. I just read the book, and I listened to the book on tape.
So, again, this is one for me that I remember seeing younger.
Yeah.
Like, you know, probably like 10.
Okay.
And
that's probably about the time I seen it.
And, you know, so when I was 10 or when you were 10?
When I was 10. Yeah.
Anyway, and I remember Maximilian stood out the most.
Yeah.
The maroon robot.
I always thought he was red.
Red, maroon, whatever. Yeah. With the buzzsaw.
Just because he looks like evil. He looks evil.
And for me, for a long time, that was like evil. And I remember when I saw Jedi for the first time.
Yeah.
Thinking that the red troopers, the Royal Guard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remind me of Maximilian.
Yeah, like the design.
And I always just kind of equated those two things as one.
Yeah.
I remember,
they probably had people, like, I'm the sure. designers, yeah. because there were a lot of crossover with people that worked on Star Wars and Empire.
It was Industrial Light and Magic.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff.
I mean, like, you know, at the time that this movie was made, they tried to get Industrial Light and Magic, who was just like in the baby stages at that point, they tried to hire them and it was too expensive.
Yeah.
And that, so they had to bring people in that had worked on previous movies like 20,000 mm-hmm. Leagues Under the Sea and stuff like that. Like Ellenshaw was like one of the ones that stands out because a lot of the interior stuff where you see out into space is all matte paintings and stuff that. So
and I'm getting
practical effects like that model of the Cygnus. Like there's different versions of that model that I've seen pictures of.
Yeah,
but one of those models looks like it's about like four long lunch tables.
Okay,
and it was huge. And I mean, but you know, they had to make it big to shoot the camera through, you know, different parts of it in that.
Right. Like I said, the sets look great. I think part of it, and it just feels dated because it's space.
Yeah.
in for what we're used to in the last 10 years. Not even the last.
Are you spoiled or something?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Vincent.
Yeah.
Is my favorite character in the movie.
Yeah.
Bob, Robot Bob.
Old Bob.
Old Bob.
Yep.
Is great. And yeah, I liked, so in the last episode we talked about the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yeah.
Out of Shadows. And like, I liked the scenes with the Turtle Brothers. I prefer the scenes in this one with the robots.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, and what, Roddy McDowall played Vincent, yep. And, you know, I said that I hadn't looked at who had played old Bob, like, ever, I think, and just doing research for this, and I'm like, Slim Pickens. And I was like, you know, like I said, I listened to the book on right. record, so those voices were in my head all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing the movie, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, now you put it together and that. You know, I knew what they looked like and all that, but, like, and seeing them in live action.
Right.
And that, and just that old Bob voice stuck in my head all the time.
And at the time, Roddy McDowall and Slim Pickens were both uncredited yeah. for the role, which is really cool.
Roddy was, you know, obvious yeah. enough that, I mean, Slim Pickens, he didn't sound like Slim Pickens. In this, because I know Slim Pickens from Blazing Saddles, and
right,
you know
right.
he sounds different.
Yeah, he does. It was that, it was a, I mean, robot version, you know, of Slim Pickens.
I just like that whole thing, like, you know, and it always stuck in my head when he's like, "You watch out for that Maximilian. He's a bad guy.
He'll and do bad things."
To yep.
You. And yeah.
And just the condition he was in, it's like you wonder what bad things he
did.
Well,
and he talked about how, like, the horrible things he did yeah. to him a little bit. Like, he didn't go too deep into detail, right. but yeah, I mean.
This is another one, like we talked about 20,000 Leagues. They don't need to do a remake.
No.
I want a prequel.
Well, that'd be cool.
I want a prequel showing yeah. what happened, like, you know.
We got that already. It's called Event Horizon.
Oh, nice. That would be creepy if that was the prequel to this. But no, I would like to see, like, Reinhardt building Maximilian and how Reinhardt took over the ship.
Yeah.
And, you know, Frank McRae and all them being turned into the drones. You know, spoiler alert if you've never seen this. There's hundreds of drones on this ship. And they're all like, well, where did the crew go? Where's the crew at? And so you eventually find out that the crew are all these drones that Dr. Reinhardt has running the machines. And the cool thing I found out was that the director, Gary Nelson, who also directed Freaky Friday.
Right.
They, at one point, Anthony Perkins plays Dr. Durant, pulls a mask off one of the drones, and it's Gary Nelson as the drone. Like, the face that they used was his face.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like, you know, he did a little cameo in his own movie.
Hey, you know, I mean, Hitchcock did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Peter Berg does it.
Yeah.
He usually has, like, 3 or 4 lines in every movie.
Oh, sure.
Does. But, yeah. Now,
yeah, I really think a prequel would be cool. Like, you know, because you already know what the Cygnus looks like. So it's one of those things where you just show what happened in preparation for them leaving. And then why did Reinhardt do what he did.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. But yeah, it's like I said, it's one of those things. When you asked before we recorded,
yeah.
I said it's going to be a short one.
Right.
And you said, oh, you didn't like it. And I said, I did not like it.
Right.
And that's the truth, because I did enjoy it. And I told you when I watched it, because I watched it last night.
Right.
So the night before we were recording this, just because time constraints. And about halfway through, I had found I had drifted.
Yeah.
And probably missed maybe a half hour.
Okay.
And it's not a long movie.
Right.
I mean, it's an hour and like 48 minutes. Maybe. Yeah. It's really not that long.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. So I went back and I definitely rewound and, you know, paid better attention the rest of the way through.
Right.
But it is just not. It's just not the sci-fi we're used to now. Like, there's not with the amount of action, and like I'm gonna like just think of like Doctor Who, right?
Yeah.
In Doctor Who, they're always running everywhere
right.
they go, and you know, I've kind of become accustomed to that because a lot of shows and movies sure. and things do that, where everyone's always running everywhere they go.
Right.
And everyone in this show or in this movie, everything they do is very deliberate, and because it has to be, because at that time. And what that ship was and who they're dealing with.
It feels more like a Star Trek episode.
It does.
Yeah.
And it goes into the story. And so it's why I'm not like as harsh
right.
on it. Right. It goes into the story where it is everything they do is deliberate, and it's for a reason,
right?
Because, and you find out at the end why.
Yeah.
But still, it was just watching. It was just kind of like, I remember really liking this as a kid.
Okay.
But I also remember being really scared of Maximilian.
Right.
And I wasn't this big, like, Freddy Cat kid.
Are you still scared of
Maximilian? No, and like, I loved
it. If you open the door, Maximilian was standing there?
I might pee, yourself, I'm going to be honest. Like, not a lot.
But, would
like,
you jump out your window?
No.
Okay.
So, but...
what if he had the blades going?
I would throw you in front of me and run.
Thanks.
I'd go Casey Jones with that hockey stick behind you.
And then when Maximilian's floating out in space and grabs you and puts you in his body... That's not going to be creepy at all.
Yeah, that would be weird. But I really like the acting in this.
Yeah.
I thought they were all really good.
This movie had solid actors in it. I mean,
and when I say this, like, I don't feel like the writing in this movie was great.
No, it was
the dialogue.
It's kind of like Star Trek the Motion Picture, which eventually we would talk about.
Right.
Those two movies were produced because of Star Wars. And I mean, Star Wars, you know, if you watch Star Wars, there's scenes in there where you're like, man, this is dragging.
And I'm definitely more of a Star Wars than Star Trek
person. Right.
And, you know.
Yeah, you're more Star Wars than Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I'm definitely like a Last Starfighter person.
Right.
I mean, that's my. Which that's isn't what wakes that me good up of every a movie day.
Either.
I recognize that, yeah. But I'm just like, it's a nostalgia thing. And like. This doesn't hold the same. This one never held the same place in my heart.
I think, you know, this is one of those ones that they talk about the dark times of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those ones that was produced in that dark time.
Okay.
And that, so it's a darker movie. It's a more adult movie.
Yeah.
I would not really let a little kid watch this movie because there's a lot of like bad stuff that happens in this movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, Maximilian takes out Anthony Perkins like nothing, like, you know, slices him up like a turkey,
and like seeing,
and you don't see it, but you know what's happening.
And that's that whole Hitchcockian thing. And I liked Anthony Perkins in this role because, you know, obviously Norman Bates. Thank you. I had a brain fart there for a second,
but he's cool in this because he's not playing that character.
No,
he's playing a character who's a scientist who meets one of his heroes. And decides, you know what? I want to hang out with this guy. And then finds out how maniacal he is.
Yeah.
And pretty much sacrifices himself to save
his crew.
Kate. And, you know, eventually the whole crew.
I mean, to save the crew.
Later. Yeah.
But, I just think it's one of those things where you see so much promise.
Yeah.
So much potential.
Oh, yeah. This movie
like,
had a
around
lot.
The corner. Like, I think... You know, and this isn't always the case, but I really feel like this is a movie that would have greatly benefited from a sequel.
Yeah.
But that would be a really weird sequel. Well, or like what you said, a prequel.
Yeah.
Like, would benefit this movie greatly.
Let me find that. I have like a page of notes here. They did comic books.
Yeah.
Of this, and there was a comic book adaption that Whitman did. Obviously, like I mentioned, I had that trade paperback, but they did one where it's like two issues or an issue was called Beyond the Black Hole, and it was supposed to be the story after they went through the black hole.
Right.
And I'm like, that whole end scene is like really just weird.
Like, I know.
It felt like 2001. It's trippy like the end of 2001. Because literally it's like, you know, the voyage through heaven and hell is what it felt like. Because Maximilian grabs Reinhardt.
Right.
And I guess assimilates him somehow. Because at the
resistance
end you see Reinhardt's eyes in Maximilian's shell.
Yeah.
And there's like these people bringing stuff to this idol. And it looks like hell.
Yeah.
And then they show them going through like glass portals and it looks like heaven, and then they end up on the other side of the black hole.
So
which Charlie's screwed because you know the captain's gonna take care of Kate.
Yeah.
So I guess it's gonna be the Charlie and Vincent show.
Yeah. But so like looking at movies like Interstellar.
Yeah.
Right? Like they did black holes really well.
Yeah.
As I mentioned before, Event Horizon.
Yeah.
You know, it did a black hole really well.
Right.
Farscape.
And, well, I mean, if you think about it, the black hole
in Event Horizon ties really well to the end of the black hole.
Right. Because no, that's what I'm saying. Like, that whole hell well demon thing. Yeah. The prequel. And that was the crew that, you know,
first
went out. But, no, I did enjoy this movie. And, you know, I'm really happy. Like, just like I said last week, I'm really happy again to have watched this one.
And I think there are comparisons between this and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea because Reinhardt feels like a Nemo type character.
Oh, very much. He's that tortured. Yeah. Like, he's not. He has villainous tendencies, but he's not a villain.
But until he can justify it.
He's not a villain until he gets pushed just a little bit. Yeah. It doesn't take a lot. And then he's like, die.
Yeah. It's literally seal everybody in their rooms and sink the damn ship. And it's like, for him, it's like, we're going into the black hole.
See ya, bitches.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the effects at the end when this asteroid.
Yeah.
Storm hits them.
Yeah,
there's some of the coolest effects I've ever seen in a movie.
And
if anything, this movie is fun to watch just because of the effects. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking the robots and the drones, all the costume effects.
And I mean, I've said before, I love practical effects.
Yeah,
I love when they take the time to like really blow something up, or they take the time to, you know, not just CG everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the Avengers movies, like Captain America Civil War, it's over CGI'd.
Yeah.
You know, like T'Challa, a lot of the cool stuff on the Black Panther costume is CGI'd in. Uh-huh. Like, he's got the mocap dots all over him. I mean, you know,
like,
I saw some of the concept art. Like, they could have, you know, there were some cool costumes they could have done. I
mean, the creativity of the people who work on the movies now, they are creative.
They are, and I'm not saying they're not.
But there's nothing like, you know, the creative geniuses that worked on movies, and I'm gonna say post-Star Wars.
Sure.
Because ILM, Disney, all those that were doing the practical effects were doing some crazy stuff, and they were doing it, like, with... you know, whatever they could get hold of.
Right.
I mean, you know, parts of... it's the same thing as, like, the Death Star. The Cygnus was built out of model kits.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's one of those things where that whole scene, and when the asteroid storm hits and they're running for their lives and the one's bouncing down the ship, and it's just like, how did they do that?
Yeah, I mean,
nowadays, you know what it would be. Click, 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 click.
And again, that's art as well.
Yeah.
And that's a difficult skill to do, and it's a difficult skill to make that look real.
Right.
On the inverse side of that, with the practical effect, it's difficult to make that believable.
Right. Like,
that's not just a marvel.
Like, what you do, grab a ball and just bounce it down and then let it on fire, or what?
Like I said, I think... you're right, though. This is not a movie for kids.
No.
Like,
oh, there's like, people get killed in it.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that I saw this at 10,
like,
kind of makes me question how I was raised.
Yeah.
But no, so it was a movie that had a $20 million budget with an additional $6 million for marketing.
Yeah.
You know, and it earned nearly $36 million at the North American box office.
So, right.
It was the 21st highest grossing film of 1979.
It came out at Christmas.
It's not a huge...
They were smart with the marketing, though, to put it out at Christmas time.
Yeah, but were there toys that went along with this?
I don't remember. Mego released toys back then.
When this came out, I was 2.
Yeah.
Or just about to turn 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, so...
so there was... Mego released a line of the larger dolls.
Oh,
and then they released a line of action figures. So I have a Vincent.
Oh, cool.
Found a Vincent at a toy show, or no, at a toy store, actually, an older toy store.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, sweet. You know, it's like, if you find him off the package, he's pretty cheap. If you find them on the package, they're really expensive because they were made by Mego, and that stuff got torn apart. Sorry. I mean, there was I think they did every main character. And they did a drone, and they did Maximilian, and they did Star, the one robot that was like the pop shot.
Yeah.
And I think they did, I'm pretty sure they did every character is a 3¾-inch.
Okay.
And I've seen Maximilian, and I've seen, like I said, Vincent. I don't know if they did old Bob.
No. I think having that,
but
like,
the dolls, they did Kate and the captain and Reinhardt figures. And I want to say they did Anthony Perkins.
Cool. Yeah. So fun fact about this movie: in 2014, Neil deGrasse Tyson deemed the film to be the least scientifically accurate movie of all time.
Oh, okay. Well, whoop-de-doo.
He says here, they not only got none of the physics right about falling into a black hole, had they gotten it right, it would have been a vastly more interesting movie. Now, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson is more of a celebrity than a scientist these days.
Yeah.
Even back in 2014. So take that with a grain of salt. But,
And then there's like one I seen that ties the comics, and that Jack Kirby drew an adaptation of the film for the comic strip Walt Disney's Treasury of Classic Tales. So now I need to go find that.
More Kirby is always good in your
More
life.
Kirby, yeah.
More Kirby.
Oh, and there it is. It is in my notes. The Mego Corporation produced a line of 12-inch and 4-inch action figures from the movie, released in the fall of 1979. Okay. So they came out before
you would have thought. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they did a lot. There's like a lot of adaption merchandising stuff. Like you said, they spend how much they spent on that. Radio Shack did stuff with them. And, you know, none of you kids know what Radio Shack is. But I mean, there's a lot of stuff that was done. There was a novelization and that. And everybody did a different ending. literally like the endings on some of the stuff was different. I think like the novelization has a different ending where they all get dispersed into atoms.
Okay.
But Kate's ESP holds them all together in mind.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about her ESP.
But, yeah.
So she has ESP. But she can communicate with Vincent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through ESP.
Yeah.
Explain this one.
Scientifically inaccurate. I think Neil deGrasse Tyson explained it for you.
So as a fan of the X-Men, who, bar none, have the most telepaths, you know.
Yeah,
on
comic book-wise.
Any comic, like, just that universe. Like, you know, everybody's secondary mutation is telepathy at this point. I had a hard time, like, really? Like,
do you think
the thing we talked about before, like, with the Force, right?
Yeah.
Like, part of the reason, like, when we reviewed the last episode of Rebels, you know, part of the reason that Vader has trouble with Ahsoka and things like that in that fight is because the Force doesn't recognize the mechanical parts of his body.
Right.
So then to get me, and I know I'm nerding out big time here, but to get me to believe that she can ESP connect to Vincent, I was just like, I almost went like this and texted you and said, I'm not reviewing this movie.
Which would have been okay, too.
But,
well, I think, and, you know,
but I stuck it out.
It's the same thing as the black holes at that point in time. It's like, there's been a jump in technology.
Well, yeah.
Just, you know,
the ability to
And
take...
Neil deGrasse Tyson can't tell me that he's not who he is because of black hole and Star Trek and all that stuff. But
Trek would be Star Wars because Star Trek is more scientifically sound.
It's right.
Yeah, but the Enterprise always gets destroyed, and most of the time they destroy it themselves at the first sign of trouble.
Well, you know. Shit happens. But ESP still is not something that's real scientifically.
No, and I get it.
It's more, you know, she had some kind of psychokinesis, which they called ESP, but it's like, you know, obviously they did a smart thing because it's like, you know, communicating with the robot when he's outside of the ship is like one of those things where it's like, unless you say that communications device we implanted in Vincent's head really works well.
She's like Micah from Heroes. She can just talk to me.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. But like,
and I did think that maybe her ESP was more of a, you know, ESP that works with machines.
Right.
And that's why she doesn't sense that those drones are who they are because she thinks they're robots and she tries to.
Right.
And it's like at a certain point, you're just like, those aren't robots.
Because at some point, shouldn't she have been able to like control Maximilian or like,
and that would have been cool if they would have, but they, you know, they were just doing this to try and ride the Star Wars train and that.
Cause that would have been really cool if she would have tried to control Maximilian, but then he can't, like, she can't, like, he's too strong.
Like if there would have been a struggle between them, even though the Vincent Maximilian scene was cool, mm-hmm. if there would have been a struggle between her and him, because she's more the damsel in distress in this movie.
Right.
And at which, you know, still in the 70s, the female was a damsel in distress.
The damsel in a dress.
Yeah. But it's like the whole thing where if they would have, if this movie was done now, there would literally be an ESP fight between her and Maximilian.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah.
And it would be, you know, like a special effects laden destructive scene, and, you know, half the ship would have got torn apart and all that. But I'm like, you know, for what they were doing at that point, it's like, it's okay. This movie's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So of the two that we've done so far.
Yeah.
This is number two.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that my nostalgia factor for Flight of the Navigator is not going to live up to my expectation. So
I can wholeheartedly tell you that you're correct.
Because I loved that movie as a kid.
Yeah.
All I wanted was Pee Wee Herman Time Machine to come take me, you know, into the distant future.
Whereas I wanted Maximilian.
Yeah.
So I wanted Vincent and old Bob to be like hanging out. And there's some cool pictures that really came across where they did like touring promotional stuff.
Yeah.
And they actually brought Vincent and old Bob. Because
they were sizable. I mean, they weren't little droids.
So they had these people dress up as the drones and like weird poses and pictures and that. And then there's Vincent and there's old Bob just like hanging there.
Just chilling.
And I'm like, yeah, that would have been cool as a kid to actually see those in person.
Yeah.
You know, and I always hope like down at Disney World, there's the museum like thing that's the Walt Disney timeline pretty much. And I'm always hoping that one day they'll have like Vincent or old Bob in there, because the last trip when we went, they had the Rocketeer jetpack.
Yeah.
I remember. You know, it's like that one was fulfilling enough, but I'm like, man, if they have like a Tron suit or old Bob or, you know, something like that in there, it would be really awesome.
Send them a letter.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're listening. Somebody at Disney's listening.
Write them a letter. Like a handwritten letter.
If next week, you know, if next week after this is broadcasted, there's a announcement of a black hole prequel.
Yeah.
I'll be like, duh! They're listening. And they stole it from me.
No. Anyway.
If somebody from Disney is listening and you are going to do a black hole prequel, I would just like to like maybe give some opinions on it. And that the writers can write what they're going to write, but I got some ideas.
Okay.
So, you know.
Cool.
Set your Tumblr page up, Johnny. Blah, blah, blah.
That's how you get into showbiz now, is you make a Tumblr page or do start doing Facebook Live stuff, because that seems to be the other way to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Well, the Chewbacca mask mom lady, she's like on the convention circuit now, getting $20 per autograph.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay $20 for her autograph.
I don't know. Kohl's gave her like $5,000 of free merchandise plus a bunch of stuff, and then somebody gave her like college tuition for her and her kids. So all because she made a very heartwarming, funny video. So,
okay.
That's the world we live in.
I'm not heartwarming.
No. You're kind of terrifying. Not gonna lie. Well,
get to me a Maximilian. Maximilian! All you had to say, too. Just Maximilian.
Maximilian.
And the robot stopped. And it's like, what kind of control do you got over this thing? At one point, it was
what
like
kind
you felt
of robot
like
you
thought he was going to turn on him at one point, because it was like a rabid dog at certain points that Maximilian was like, I mean, and the thing was, is they made you know what he was feeling, because the eyepiece would get redder at certain points, and you were like, oh, it's like, what's going on here?
So remind me, Battlestar Galactica, the TV series, was...
Actually, it was a movie first.
Sorry. So the first Battlestar Galactica, the non-Ronald D. Moore one.
Yeah.
What year was that?
79.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right around the same time.
It was Star Trek, the motion picture, was 78. I think Black Hole and Battlestar Galactica were 79. And Battlestar Galactica was produced as a movie... And then picked up as a TV series, same as Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, the Gil Gerard one.
Right. Which Aaron Gray.
Yeah. Which was released as a motion picture, too. And so, I mean, they were just they've seen how successful Star Wars right. was, and it's like jumped on that bandwagon like it was nothing.
We want to do that too.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, and smart business moves.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I mean, they made money. They all made money, but I mean, you know, I think where Disney steered wrong was they could have left this open for a sequel.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
And they because, went, I mean, real, literally, and I think like, they went really dark with it, where it wasn't necessarily... Yeah. It wasn't that fun, romping space adventure.
Yeah. Like, that literally, was Star yeah, you Wars. Can say that about Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars, and Buck Rogers.
Star Trek the Motion Picture had the built-in audience yeah. from, you know, the TV series. So, you know, I definitely think... Like, I was thinking today of what kind of music you could put in to cut together to make it seem like it's this fun, like, robot buddy movie with old Bob and Vincent.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it wouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
Because they have a ton of great scenes.
Well, yeah, it was one of those things where if you had Robert Forrester and the two robots.
Yeah.
And Yvette Mimo, that could have been it. They yeah. didn't need Borgnine. They didn't no. need Perkins. It's just they had those. They were smart enough to get people that had names. Right. I mean, you right. know, Perkins and Borgnine and Maximilian Schell had been around forever.
Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where Disney went more with the idea of, I think, using the actors they had, the effects that they had, and they didn't really care about what story they had.
Right, right.
And it's, you know, one of those things where it reflects differently when you watch what Tron was 6 years later?
82?
Yeah, something like five or 6 years later. And the story is in the effects.
Right. So I mean, the effects are the story.
Yeah, the effects are the story. And it's like, I think that in that time, they realized what they did wrong with Black Hole and fixed it for Tron. And let the people have creative control of Tron that needed the creative right. control. So, I mean, ranking it on a scale of 1 to 10, this would be like probably a solid 6.5 for yeah. me.
Tron was 1982,
yeah.
by the way. Yeah, I'd agree. I'd put it as like 6 yeah. and a half.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's just you don't have to think about it. You just watch it.
Yeah.
Cool. And you fall asleep during it a few times and, you know.
But, all right.
Well, there's cool. a certain point in that movie where it becomes a different movie.
Yeah. Well,
like when the ship finally, like, you know, starts getting pulled in the black hole,
it becomes a horror movie.
It literally becomes yeah. like a, you know, everybody's gonna die.
Oh, you thought this movie. Was a superhero movie?
Yeah.
This is a horror show.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no.
Because up until the point that, you know, it's a mystery movie up until the point where Anthony Perkins pulls that mask off that drone, and then it's like all hell breaks loose at right. once.
Because it's like been this whole thing where this maniac
yeah.
is reanimating people and, you know, being...
Well, it was just mind wiping.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally like mind wiping them. And it's like, you know, how bad do you feel for old Bob that he knew, but yeah. he didn't want to say anything because he had been beat down that badly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, like I said, this would be an interesting prequel to see what happened.
Yeah. No, it would. I think yeah. you're right. I think to have that initial crew.
Yeah. Then Bob, yeah. not old Bob, but Bob, yeah. and, you know, get somebody who can do Slim Pickens. Yeah.
There's voice actors out there.
Disney, listen to me.
Listen to Johnny.
Yeah.
You're getting very
you don't have to do it as a released in the theaters either. I mean, Disney's yeah. got enough channels now that you could do that as a miniseries.
Yeah.
Pretty cast.
You know, that fancy new deal they have with Netflix.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nestor Carbonell as Reinhardt.
What? Yes. First off, you love Nestor Carbonell.
I do, man.
You have a Nestor Carbonell man crush.
Well, it's just it's just the thing that he's the guy where I look at him and I go, you know, like he showed up on Bates Motel and I'm like, oh, cool. You know? Yeah.
I mean, he could literally play anybody.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's where he would be a good younger Reinhardt, I think, because he has that vibe that Maximilian
Adrian Schell Paul. Has.
Adrian Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. because he's got the weird, like, Max Shell voice type. You know, can't really fit the accent.
The accent doesn't really fit a country type thing. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, cool. You ready to wrap up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, six is all around. Six and a half, whatever, all around for The Black Hole. Definitely worth watching. Maybe not with your little kids, but definitely worth watching. Yeah, and like, if you're older like we are.
If you're a fan of sci-fi movies, this is a good sci-fi movie.
I would call this a must-watch if you're a fan of sci-fi.
Yeah. This would be, like, you know, in my sci-fi movie, this would probably be in my top 25.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in my top 50.
Of all sci-fi movies that all sci-fi I've ever movies watched. Is in my...
All right. Yeah. So, quick question.
Yeah.
Sci-fi.
Yeah.
Are you talking just science fiction, or are you throwing in things like fantasy, like Lord of the Rings? And
no, that's kind of fantasy. Stuff?
Okay. Yeah. Because some people don't make a distinction, and some people do, and I was just kind of curious.
Yeah, I mean, if you
went... Because I definitely make that distinction.
Yeah, if you went, like, you know, if you said, in my top 25 sci-fi fantasy movies, then it's a different... This would be my top 50.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be in my top 25.
But just
straight sci-fi... You know, sci-fi is a different monster than fantasy is. Oh, yeah. This is in my top 25.
What's your number one?
Probably Star Wars.
All right.
Empire Strikes Back's number two. Just because Star Wars is like the first thing that I ever seen in the theater. So
I get it.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. So we are the Infamous Podcast.
Let's not do that list.
We will at some point. That'll be like year five.
Oh, God.
So
I quit. There, I did it for this episode.
Yes. Johnny quit.
Drinking game has been completed.
Send your resumes to and your voice clips. Send your reel. Anyway, all right. We are at infamouspodcast.com. We are Infamous Podcast on the Twitters, the Instagrams, the Facebooks, all that fun jazz. Johnny, you're online somewhere.
Twitter, Johnny Potworth. Instagram, Johnny Potter. Facebook, Johnny Potter.
Cool. Mine's Brian Tudor, all one word for everything. So
I should just change everything to Maximilian Ate My Baby.
That's your new Twitter account. Go claim that now. Anyway.
Maximilian Ate My Baby.
Maximilian Ate My Baby at gmail.com.
It wasn't the dingoes. It was Maximilian.
All right. Hey, if you guys have suggestions for things you want to hear us talk about or review or... guest you'd like us to try and grab,
Disney sci-fi month continues.
Contact at infamouspodcast.com is that
you email? Just said all that.
Contact at infamouspodcast.com.
Subscribe
to our email list. Yeah. We're gonna start doing some cool stuff. I may or may not have season 5 of Game of Thrones digital code to give away. Just saying.
But you're still
I haven't yet.
At this point, we don't know if the Deadpool...
Yeah, so as we're recording this, hopefully someone has won the Deadpool one yet.
But... And hopefully Brian's not trapped on Alcatraz with a bunch of terrorists and Nicolas Cage.
That would be awful. But kind of cool at the same
time. I gotta get this to that, and then I gotta do this. And my girlfriend's pregnant.
I'm just gonna... If that happens, I'm just gonna run around and just yell, "There's no time! There's no time!" Get my Jack Bauer on.
You're gonna be in the cage. You're gonna be like, "Could you get me out of this damn cage?"
Where's your gun? I don't have a gun. I have a gun. So anyway, all right, guys. Thank you, guys and gals. Thank you for listening. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to continuing our next two
dear God
Disney sci-fi movies. Yeah, that's what's next. Dun dun dun. All right. Have a great day, night, weekend, morning, whenever you listen to this.
That's like your tagline now.
It is. I'm trying.
Wow.
And I say it different every time.
Drinking game. Drinking game with the Infamous Podcast.
Awesome. Later.
Five.